What do I mean by harnessing the power of debt? There are many reasons I do not join the bandwagon that says, cut up your credit cards, get out of debt, and live below your means. I do not say it because I don't think the advice solves problems for anyone who wants to be rich. For people who want to be rich, have a lot of money, and enjoy the lifestyle that money can bring, simply cutting up your credit cards and getting out of debt does not solve the problem, nor does it necessarily make people happy. I do agree that, on just basic financial principles, cutting up your credit cards is good advice for most people. But simply getting out of debt does not work for anyone who wants to become rich and enjoy life. If a person wants to become rich, a person needs to know how to get into more debt, learn how to respect the power of debt, and learn how to harness the power of debt. So if people are not willing to learn how to respect and to harness the power of debt, then cutting up their credit cards and living below their means is great advice. Either decision has a price tag attached. Let me give you an example. A friend of mine came to the house a few months ago to show me his new car. I got an amazing deal, he said. I paid only $3,500 for it, put in $500 for some parts, and it runs great. I could easily sell it for $6,000. He then said, come on, sit in it, take it for a spin. Not wanting to be rude, I did as he requested and took the car for a ride around the neighborhood. At the end of the test drive, I smiled and said, it's a great car. But silently I said to myself, it needs a paint job, the interior smells of old cigarettes, and I would not want to own such a depressing vehicle. Taking back the keys, he smiled and said, I know it's not a thing of beauty, but I paid cash for this, so I have no debt. As he drove off, white smoke poured from the exhaust. My wife Kim drives a beautiful Mercedes convertible. I drive a Porsche convertible. Even when we were broke, we drove Porsches and Mercedes or other fine cars. We did not pay cash. We borrowed money to buy them. Why? Let me explain with the following story, a story I often tell in my seminars. It is a story about good debt and bad debt and enjoying the finer things of life. In 1995, I received a phone call from my local Porsche dealer. He said, the car of your dreams is here. I immediately drove down to his showroom to look at a 1989 Porsche Speedster. I already knew that there were only 8,000 of this model made over a three-year period. In 1989, Porsche devotees were buying them, putting them on blocks, and storing them. If you could find a collector who would sell one, the asking price was $100,000 to $120,000 in 1989. But in 1995, I was looking at the rarest of all the 1989 Porsche Speedsters. This was Speedster number one, the first ever built of this model, and it had the Porsche turbo body, which means little except to a dedicated Porsche fan. Since it was the first one built, it was the model that the factory toured all over the world at auto shows and was the car used for the photo on the brochure. In 1989, after the tour was over, this car was also put up on blocks and stored in a warehouse. When a collector decided to sell it in 1995, the dealer called me. The dealer knew it was the car I had been looking for. The car may have been used, but it had only 2,400 miles on it. My wife Kim watched me go into a hypnotic state as I walked up to the car of my dreams. I sat in the car, took hold of the steering wheel, and inhaled deeply, smelling the rich scent of leather which was still with the car. The car was absolutely flawless. Kim looked at me and asked, do you want it? I responded with a nod of my head and a smile. Then it's yours. All you have to do is go find an asset to pay for it. Again, I nodded, climbed out of the car, sniffed the tires, and smiled. It was the car of my dreams, and it was mine. We put a deposit on the car, arranged financing with the dealer, and went out to find the asset that would pay for the car. In other words, I was going to find an asset to pay for my liability and use good debt to pay for the bad debt. A little over a week later, I found a great piece of property, borrowed money to buy it, and the cash flow from the property paid for the debt on the Porsche. A few years later, the Porsche would be paid off, and I would still have the cash flow from the property. In other words, instead of getting poorer from having an expensive liability, I got richer and have the car of my dreams, which is still mine today. We did the same thing when my wife found the Mercedes of her dreams. There is a saying that goes, the best things in life are free. And I agree. A simple smile can make so many people happy, and a smile costs nothing to give. A pat on the back with a single word, congratulations, costs nothing, and it can brighten up a person's whole day. A sunrise or a full moon cost nothing to appreciate. So in my opinion, the best things in life are free. What I'm talking about in this section are the finer things in life that cost money. The kind of happiness I am talking about is the happiness one finds from material things. I'm not writing about inner happiness, because material possessions cannot give you that if you do not have it. Inner happiness is free, and priceless if you have it. Your standard of living is a measure of your material happiness and satisfaction. There are three reasons why being aware of your material happiness or changes in your standard of living is important. They are, 1. Your standards change. As we age, our standards change. If people find their tastes improving but their ability to afford their refinements and tastes do not change, then people may begin borrowing, increasing their share of bad debt in order to afford these changes. If your standards change, especially to the more expensive side, it is important to find ways of increasing your income in order to afford those changes. 2. It is important to respect those inner changes in material standards. A person's inner happiness can be affected if material standards change, but the person is not able to keep up financially with these changes. For example, I might be a happy high school boy with a $3,500 used car, but I would be an unhappy adult driving the same car I dreamed of in high school. Today, I meet many people who lack inner peace because they have not kept up with the changes in their desire for the finer things in life. I meet many people who are unhappy, living below their means, trying to be happy by only buying things that are cheap, affordable, but below their personal standards, which have improved. 3. You spend less if you buy what you desire. I am very happy with my car, and my wife is happy with hers. We may have spent more being clear on satisfying our material standards, which includes our house and clothing, but we actually spend less in the long run in time, money, and happiness because we buy what we want. I want you to have the wonderful material things this world has to offer without sacrificing your financial well-being and winding up in financial hell. I tell this simple story of my Porsche for the following lessons about abundance.